Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
He says the problem with teachers is, what's a kid going to learn from someone who decided his best option in life is to become a teacher? He reminds the other dinner guests that it's true what they say about teachers, that those who can, do, and those who can't, teach. I decide to bite my tongue instead of his and resist the urge to remind the other dinner guests that it's also true what they say about lawyers. Because we're eating, after all, and this is polite conversation. I mean, you're a teacher, Taylor. Be honest. What do you make? And I wish he hadn't done that. Asked me to be honest, because you see, I have a policy about honesty and ass-kicking, which is, if you ask for it, then I have to let you have it. You want to know what I make? I make kids work harder than they ever thought they could. I can make a C-plus feel like a Congressional Medal of Honor. And I can make an A-minus feel like a slap in the face. How dare you waste my time with anything less than your very best? You want to know what I make? I make kids sit through 40 minutes of study hall in absolute silence. No, you cannot work in groups. No, you can't ask a question, so put your hand down. Why won't I let you go to the bathroom? Because you're bored and you don't really have to go, do you? You want to know what I make? I make parents tremble in fear when I call home at around dinner time. Hi, this is Mr. Molly. I hope I haven't called at a bad time. I just wanted to talk to you about something that your son did today. He said, leave the kid alone. I still cry sometimes, don't you? And it was the noblest act of courage that I have ever seen. I make parents see their children for who they are and who they can be. You want to know what I make? I make kids question. I make them criticize. I make them apologize and mean it. I make them write, and then I make them read. I make them spell definitely beautiful, over and over again until they will never misspell either one of those words again. I make them show all their work in math and then hide it on their final drafts in English. I make them realize that if you got this, then you follow this. And if somebody tries to judge you based on what you make, you give them this. Let me break it down for you. Let me break it down for you so you know what I say is true. I make a damn difference. Now, what about you?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And what do Taylor, Molly, and teachers have to do with gardening and horticulture and green living? Absolutely nothing and absolutely Everything. And I'm happy to have alongside Heather Fry in the studio, Mike Sanders from Our Town.
Hey.
And congratulations on your second anniversary.
That's right, 2 years, baby. there's my bell noise.
I know, you got the bell, I got the bell.
Different pitch, though.
Yes, yours is a little darker.
It's a little dark, angry bell.
Yeah, angry bell.
Now, that opening sounded awfully familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because Mike played it on his show this morning, too. And I came in, and I was all jazzed up. I said, I'm going to play Molly. I want to play Taylor Molly because this is awesome video making the rounds. Mm-hmm.
I found it first.
No, you didn't.
Well, no, we have to set up the story here for
you. Yeah, please.
Okay.
Please do.
The dual Michaels here were in. This Michael was leaving the studio. This one was entering. And Mr. Novak was getting everything set up for the show. And he's like, oh, I got this great, you know, it's on www.mikenovak.net. Mm-hmm. Just down in the lower right-hand corner, you see, you know, webmaster posts a link and you can go back and watch Taylor Molly.
Or you can go to Facebook and look up Our Town, one word, with Mike Sanders.
See?
Either way, you can find it.
You can find it. Mr. Sanders starts telling us about, oh, this great video and this spoken word guy and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Nobody else is listening to him. And then I stop listening to him because we have work show prep to do. And then Mike Novak goes, oh, go to my homepage, find this video. And I'm like, Taylor Molly, isn't that what Mike Sanders just said?
He didn't hear a word
You were completely tuned out.
I come in here focused like a laser on getting the show up.
I believe this is revenge from that whole Christmas party fiasco.
Perhaps.
Where I didn't get invited. I did not get invited to the Christmas.
Didn't we already like give him the 4th of July invite like 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
You're the first person we invited to the party
barbecue.
That hasn't been planned yet.
You mean last year's 4th of July party.
You won't make it to that one either. It's going to be on the 3rd of July.
But
the
point is, great minds think alike.
Yes,
and including Kathleen Thompson, my sweetie and webmaster, who put it on her. I give her a little page now. She asked for it, and I say, are you kidding? Of course you can have one. You know,
well, it's kind of her thing.
I know what side my
so,
like, bread
I want
is
page,
buttered
I'm gonna
on.
I'm going to do the code to get it.
And at the bottom of MikeNovak.net, the homepage, it says, Mike gave the webmaster a page, and she puts different things up there, and she's got two videos there this week. And one of them is Taylor Molly, and this apparently has been on MoveOn.org and other places, and I just love it because I am the son of a teacher, the brother of a teacher, the nephew of a teacher, a cousin to teachers, friends to teachers. And all I can say to the idiots in Wisconsin is, how dare you attack teachers? Mm-hmm. How
across
dare
the country.
You?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's spreading like a cancer.
And if I may.
It is a cancer.
Yes.
That clip that I got, I received it from teachers out of Indiana. So they Facebooked it to me. So there you go.
So we have to stand up for and this nonsense about, you know, what you're going to hear is, they make six figures and. I know.
I want to meet
stupid.
That teacher.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And, you know, and,
I know
and, and if they do, congratulations.
Yeah, no kidding. She put
You've
in 40
earned
years.
It.
She put in 40 years to get the retirement that she was getting
yeah,
after a while. She
earned
did 40
it.
Years in
Go
the trenches in grade
you
school.
You will not find me teaching in a school. I cannot.
You don't
barely
have the
done
patience
that.
For us.
I have taught in high school in Chicago. You know, I was brought in to teach a playwriting class. It was the scariest thing in my life ever. And those teachers earn every single penny they get. And, you know, it makes me want to take a rolled up newspaper to Governor Scott Walker and just.
No.
Keep,
like a dog. No.
Right
on
the nose.
Right on the
no.
On his wet little nose. Okay?
No, it's brown.
A little Coke Brother Madness. All right.
So anyway,
put that in your Kleenex, Mr. Coke.
And you guys are playing that though. It's, you know, the teachers need all the support they can get.
Yes,
absolutely.
Do.
And
cool.
You know, I it's interesting because I've been I spoke yesterday out in Naperville at the Naperville Home Showcase, and the guy who was helping me, who's setting up the audio visual for me, is a teacher. And he teaches environmental science, Aaron. And I don't know if he's listening this morning, but and I don't even know where he teaches. You know, but we got to, and I was thinking, what's he doing on the weekend? He's making a little extra cash.
Well, yeah. Yep.
You know? I just have so much sympathy and respect
yeah.
for teachers and everything they do. So
I've got four kids, so I'm always at the school. And we're bringing in paper towels and glue sticks and, you know, just the lumps of paper, things that kids need mm-hmm. because the teachers can't take it out of pocket anymore. Mm-hmm. And the school districts aren't paying for these things. So they're asking the parents now, which the parents should be involved in doing this stuff. But it's just it's hard on top of hard for teachers right now to be attacked by the people who they're serving. The parents of the kids that they're serving is I don't even know what the word is for it. It's beyond what I can comprehend.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're attacking teachers, you obviously did not learn enough in school. Because
you need to go back. I would be sitting here right now if it wasn't for several teachers. And all the way back to my earth science teacher who taught me about how soil works and how you have to share crop fields and, you know, how
there's always sustain. There's always a couple in your life that you remember. I remember world history teacher in high school. The guy was the coolest guy ever. You'd hang out in his room and he would play the Beatles. He'd play the White Album over and over and over again. But then you also remember the tough ones on you. I had an English teacher in 12th grade who dared to give me a C. Nobody gave me C's. Okay. Nobody gave me C's in
me
school.
Neither, man.
And she gave me a C and she straightened my butt up right there because it knocked me for a loop, and it was a midterm. She said, you're just not – it was like the student that Molly's talking about when he gives an A-minus to. It's like, don't you dare come in here with that weak stuff.
It's like,
you
in
my house.
I love that line. Make an A-minus feel like a slap in the face.
I earned every C that I received in school. I just want to go on the record for that. I'm going to zip out of here. Thank you, guys. I'm going to do some production stuff.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday.
For Our Town on Chicago's Progressive Talk from 8 to 9. Now you want to say 7 to 8. Those are the old times.
That's the old time.
I can't get past that. I have no idea where I am. 8 to 9 every Sunday morning on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. This happens to be the Mike Novak Show. We're going to get to some green living stuff, some horticulture stuff today. We're going to start with Pollyanna Wolf, who is up in Rogers Park. The 49th Ward Saving Green Together workshop series begins on Monday about home efficiency. I'm going to ask her how I can keep from paying so much money in natural gas to keep my home heated. I actually talked to Ron Cowgill about that yesterday. Not on the air. I was on the air, but
I off heard the you air. Were on the air.
I was on the mm-hmm. air. And I was plugging my event. Great Green Gardens is what I'm speaking about at the Naperville Home Showcase. I'm back there again today at 1:00. Had a wonderful crowd come out yesterday. And thank you for all those folks who came out to hear me speak. And I hope some of you who are out Naperville way will come out again today. It's at North Central College, 440 Brainerd Street in Naperville. I'm there at 1:00. And while you're there, you know, come look at the home showcase and all the great stuff that you can do for your home. And a garden a little bit, and lighting, and insulation, and roofing. I mean, you know the drill, and the gutters, and the whole nine yards. And I'm speaking at 1:00, and I hope you'll come out. In the second hour, I'm very thrilled to have a guy named William J. Bill Radler. Now, most of you folks do not know who that is. But if I say Knockout Rose, a lot of you people know what that is. I know you know what
I
that
know,
is.
And I have a housewife in Riverside that swears by them. They're flooding her garden and she adores them.
Is that a friend of yours?
Yes.
Well, he bred them. He is the guy who created the Knockout Rose. And he's going to be talking about that and also Art in Bloom, which is a terrific event that's happening at the Milwaukee Art Museum starting this Thursday and going through Sunday. And I've spoken there a couple of times. He's created a rose in honor of that event. So Bill Radler will be here in the second hour as well. So let's do this. And I'll tell you what, let's get Pollyanna on the phone and we'll talk to her in just a second. Now, you may need a magnifying glass to see them, but they're there. Insect eggs left behind by those nasty beasts that attacked your plants last year. And they're getting ready to hatch come spring. What can you do? Get cracking with Bonide's All-Season Spray Oil, which will take care of those fledgling mites, scale, aphids, galls, mealybugs, and more. All season spray oil is recommended for vegetables, fruit trees, shade trees, shrubs, ornamentals, and roses. The green-friendly treatment comes in quart-ready-to-use, quart-ready-to-spray with built-in hose end attachment for easy application, and a concentrate for those of you who prefer to mix your own. This is a year you're going to go green, right? Try All Season Spray Oil. You can find it at these local retailers. Pasquazi Home and Gardens in Lake Bluff, Illinois. Pasquazi Home and Gardens in Barrington, Illinois. Busy Bee Nursery in Glenwood, Illinois. Or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Or for a complete product listing of Bonide's Garden Naturals line.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Did you get the spelling on that? It's Plant Skid. P-L-A-N-T-S-K-Y double D. D-D. What do Ball Horticultural, the Lincoln Park Zoo, Elmhurst College, and Motorola have in common? They have all been partners with WRD Environmental, an ecological consulting firm that has created sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD Environmental designs, installs, manages, and consults on projects and programs that conserve natural resources, promote sustainability, cultivate biodiversity, and restore nature's balance. But just as important, WRD is a good partner. Whether it's managing a large-scale conservation development or cultivating a community greening initiative, clients trust WRD to anticipate, prevent, and solve potential problems. WRD Environmental takes a comprehensive approach to every project, keeping the overall objectives in mind and building teams along the way to achieve the best results. WRD is all about innovation and execution with unparalleled focus. So when you're looking for a partner to help your business literally change the world around it, choose WRD. WRD Environmental, where the built and natural environments meet. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Welcome! Thank you for being here on a Sunday morning. If you're not listening on the radio, maybe you're catching us streaming live. You can do that by going to MikeNovak.net, MikeNowak.net. You can also go to Chicago's ProgressiveTalk.com. If you are not able to catch the whole show, don't forget that I do podcasts of this, and they're downloadable from iTunes, and you can get the RSS feed. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Yes.
I'd like to register a Twitter complaint. What's this? What's this rubbish here at the top?
No. We're not going there. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Twitter is telling me I need to be more clever.
What was this?
Right at the top. Your tweet was over 140 characters. You'll have to be more clever. I just got insulted by Twitter.
Well, you know, I get insulted by by what is it? Google all the time when you type in something. Did you mean?
No.
Did you mean? Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter at Mike Now if you want to help me insult Twitter back.
That's right. Go insult Twitter. And I'm hoping that maybe Amtrak Tim might call, because I got a news release This week, Governor Quinn announces major agreement to advance high-speed rail in Illinois. And I'm just so happy to have all those idiot Republican governors around us turning down the money for high-speed rail. Actually, I'm not. It just makes me sad. But I'm hoping that Illinois becomes the model for the rest of the country, and people realize that we can get from here to St. Louis in record time and faster than it takes to drive downtown. Maybe some people will wake up. I don't know. Let us go to line one and bring in Pollyanna Wolf, who's a community organizer up in the 49th Ward. How are you, Pollyanna?
Good morning. I'm really happy to be on the radio today.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Okay, and I have to ask you. Kathleen was said, you're not going to ask this, are you? I said, absolutely, I am. How does one get a name Pollyanna?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I've been active for many, many years, and I used to be active in my old neighborhood in University City in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And we had our regular fixtures in the neighborhood, you know, homeless or just like to hang out and mm-hmm. be on the street. And one of them was named Barry Sometimes. And one day I had my hair in braids, and he saw me, and he took a hold of my braids and held them up and waved them and said, "Look at Pollyanna." And it stuck because it sort of matched my personality.
So that's not your real name?
Oh, it's my real name now. This was about 15, 16 years ago.
Did you legally change it?
I did.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. See, I was going to say...
That's a way cooler story. My mom loved the book when I was little.
Now, Kathleen, aren't you glad I asked that question? Because I've got a friend, you know, who changed her name totally, too. And had a much... came up with a much cooler name. I think that as we get to be adults, sometimes that's really a good idea. Just start fresh, you know? Just do something different. So you're working up at the 49th Ward, and I was interested because you're doing a weatherization. Now, and I know that there have been a number of them in the city, and it's a great thing. I know that CETA, who's a sponsor on Chicago's Progressive Talk, does weatherization work. You might even be working with them a little bit, Pollyanna. But your seminar, and it's a six-week series of workshops, is called Saving Green Together, Weatherizing Your House, Apartment, Condo, or Building for All Seasons. And I've got the information up on my website, MikeNovak.net, if you go to this week's show. First of all, I have to ask, can anybody show up for this?
Oh, yeah. Everybody should show up. It's
I was wondering if it's just for the 49th Ward residents, but they're sponsoring it, but you're inviting everybody.
Yeah, we have three sponsors. We have the 49th Ward Green Corps, which is a local chapter of the Department of Environment's volunteer program, the C3 program.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Transition Rogers Park. And, you know, Transition is it's a local international movement. So there's local chapters all over the world. And, of course, Loyola University. So we're in, you know, inviting neighboring communities, but, you know, anybody in the city that's, you know, serious about reducing their energy footprint should come, because we're going to have a lot of resources.
Well, I'm looking at the various weeks, and it starts this Monday at 6:30, 6:30 to 8:30 at the United Church of Rogers Park. It's 1545 West Morse, which is west of the Morse. How close is that to the L?
It's about a block and a half west of the L. It's at the corner of Ashland and Morse. And anybody that's driven through Rogers Park knows the church, because they have a huge pink triangle on the front, and it says this church is opposed to war. So you can't miss it.
Unlike the churches that advocate war, but that's good. I'm glad that they have that up there. And it's 6:30 to 8:30 on six consecutive Mondays, starting this Monday. Now, let me just go through the workshops you're going to do. This Monday is a blueprint for saving green at home, and it's about weatherization and learning how to do a home energy audit. Then on April 4th, crossing the threshold to a more energy-efficient home. Discover what you can do to start saving energy with simple, affordable materials like weather stripping and caulk. And then on the 11th, Saving Green, starting with the studs, hearing from experts about advanced steps for greening your home. Ask questions about everything from insulation to heating and cooling. On the 18th is Window to the Groups Who Make It Happen. You can get answers about economic incentives, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to want this, rebates and financing. The 25th is organizing strategies for your apartment building, condo, co-op, block, or whole community, which is a great idea. Get everybody on board. And then on May 2nd, creating a solid foundation, green building legislation. So you guys, you cover quite a range of stuff in 6 weeks.
We do, and two of my favorites you seem to like, too. The Window to the Groups Who Make It Happen. You know, as I was going over all of the incentives that we're going to offer people, there's programs where they'll come out and do the work for you.
Really?
So,
you say they'll do it for you, how does that work? Is it like getting a grant or qualifying for having folks come out and help you? How do you get on board with that?
Well, you apply for it, and they have income eligibility requirements, but they're moderate income people, you know, can qualify for this. I was surprised at how high of an income you could make and still qualify. And they come out and do the work. They do the audit. They see, you know, what's not efficient, and they come out and do the work. They'll do the weather stripping. They'll put the insulation in. They'll replace your appliances. So it's pretty amazing what kind of incentives we're going to be.
Hey, Heather. Heather, I work in radio. I'm sure I qualify. you think I'm kidding.
I thought that qualified you for the medication.
It does. That, too. Thank you.
It's like, these pills will make you happy.
There's another thing that I want to note. You know, here in the city, where we have many, many, many multifamily buildings, so a lot of people think if they don't own a home, they can't do anything to weatherize their property.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a good portion of this program is geared towards condo owners and even renters. And, you know, in our first night when we learn how to do an energy audit, you know, we'll be showing renters how they can gather all the information they need to approach their landlord about weatherizing the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want people to know that it's not just for single family homeowners.
Oh, no, and I think it's well taken, and there are things obviously you can do even in an apartment and a condo. You can caulking and other. You find out where the doing an energy audit. I imagine you could do that in your unit as well. Is that one of the myths? Because one of the things you say on your flyer is that you're also going to include myth busting about home energy use and loss. I imagine that's one of the myths, that if you live in a condo or an apartment, there's nothing you can do about it.
It is, and I like to give a little teaser about a little teaser question. What do you think uses more energy? Keeping your windows open and using fans in the summer, or weatherizing your apartment and using an air conditioner?
Ooh, so which one wastes more energy or uses more?
Well, you could phrase it either way, but
yeah.
You'll have to come to the workshop series.
So you're not going to give me the answer. You're going to just tease that, right? It's well, I'll tell you what. Maybe you can tell me off air. Maybe we'll just. I need to know.
You got to go to the workshop.
It's the need to know basis. Saving Green Together, weatherizing your house, apartment, condo, or building for all seasons, free. And that's an important part of this, right? Free workshop series on home energy efficiency. And, you know, I'm sure some people think, well, yeah, well, winter's over, so why should I worry about it? You know, that's a great time to work on stuff, because it's if you're figuring out where the energy loss is coming from, maybe you got to open some windows, trying to do some things like caulking in the winter when you have cold air, it makes it harder to work with some of the materials. I think that this is a great time to work on home energy efficiency. And as you said, even going into the summer, you can be more efficient about the hot air that we have around Chicago. And I'm not just talking about the politicians. So I would say, yeah, you probably have a bunch of tips for that as well. Right, Pollyanna?
Yes, spring is the perfect time to start, and I don't know how much time we have left, but I did want to mention another one of the nights that I'm super excited about is when we talk about the green building legislation. We're also in that evening, you know, once you get your building at its maximum efficiency, you can start looking at ways to make it a zero energy building, so an building that doesn't have any emissions, and even a net energy building, so one that produces more energy than it's using. And so we're going to hear about putting solar panels on your home and even putting a wind turbine on your home, geothermal.
Awesome.
And stuff like that. So, you know, we're starting at the very beginning, but we're, you know, showing people how they can, you know, go all the way.
Yeah, get really sophisticated about it as they move on. So the workshops start this Monday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the United Church of Rogers Park, 1545 West Morse, in Rogers Park. The doors open at 6:30 for a resource fair. The workshop begins at 7. It starts this Monday and goes through Monday, May 2nd. And again, sponsored by Alderman Joe Moore's 49th Ward Green Corps in cooperation with Transition Rogers Park and Loyola University's Environmental Sustainability class. So, Pollyanna Wolf, thank you so much. I hope you have a huge turnout and lots of people take advantage of this great service you're providing.
Yes, take advantage of the experts, because we will be having experts from all of the groups that are, you know, presenting these incentives. And so people can ask questions if they come to the meet and greet at 6:30, too.
Right. It's always a good reason to show up a little early. Because then you sometimes get a little extra knowledge by, you know, pulling somebody aside and saying, hey, let me ask you this question. So, okay, Pollyanna, great. And we'll talk again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Here's something to think about during March Madness. Lawn Madness! Well, lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Are you surprised at that? I told that to folks yesterday out in Naperville, and I was explaining to the folks at the Naperville Home Showcase that lawn roots often win, and they were astounded. Well, studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. This is just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. In fact, maybe this is the year you can create or expand that mulch ring around the base of your trees. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
A-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-X. This is, should I go into
the whole...
What's that?
Said of Brian Wilson, you are not.
No.
A-ba-ba-X. You're a bass. You can't, don't even try.
Protect my plants, Baba X.
Oh.
All right. That's enough of that. Bob XR Animal Repellent will keep your plants rocking and a-rolling by keeping those scavengers away. Yes, we're talking to you, Miss Squirrel, Mr. Rabbit, and Mrs. Deer. And it's harmless. I didn't know deer got married. And it's harmless to humans and wildlife, including aquatic life. Products from Bob-X, which has been making environmental products since 1989, contain no petrochemicals and are made from natural and recycled ingredients. Bob-X repels by using both odor and taste, using things like meat meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, and garlic to deter foraging. It sounds awful, but that's the point. You don't want the deer and rabbits around, and these are some of the things that keep them away. You can get Bob-X in an easy-to-spray concentrate, and even with a pump sprayer. Of course, always read and follow label directions. Bob-X is available only at your local independent garden center, such as Siegel's Cottonwood Farm in Lockport, Illinois, Shades of Green Nursery in Chicago, Illinois, Fields Nursery in Crest Hill, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bob-X. Kidding me? Is it baseball season already?
Almost.
It's pretty much at the end of the week, isn't it?
Well, you said pretty much, and it will be occurring at the end of the week. The question is whether the weather will be cooperating, Mike.
Oh dear, that's Rick DiMaio, our meteorologist. Yeah, it's if they were playing today, you know, if you've ever
football weather.
Oh, it is, and if you hit. Something wrong. Your whole hand goes numb. I mean, anybody who's ever tried to play golf in 35 degree weather knows that you don't hit that exactly right. Your whole hand will go
numb.
It
like bites your knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's amazing, Mike. I still remember to this day the first time when I was trying out for the Little League, and I was in sixth grade, and my mother refused to allow me to play organized sports for kids only because my older brother. Who was 4 years older than me at the time, was playing football and broke his thumb. And, of course, that was it because my mother was worked in a doctor's office and all she kept seeing was kids coming in with broken wrists and broken thumbs and black eyes. So I actually had to sneak out of the house. This is a great story. On a Saturday morning with my friend Michael Reaney because I wanted to sign up for the South Ozone Park Little League because I really wanted to play. I was a great baseball player, but she wouldn't allow me to play. I played in the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts League, but not in organized. I wanted to wear a uniform, for Pete's sakes. So when I went to try out, it was one of these days. It was probably, I don't know, like early April or something. And this was in New York City. It was freezing out. It was probably 38, 39 degrees. It was like a west wind. We're all just sitting there, standing around, like waiting for our turn. And because my friend was already on a team and I was able to, you know, I was a pretty good ball player already. This was basically you go out there and you show your skills, and then the other coaches, you know, pick you off the field. Okay, you're on my team. Well, the guy who I wanted to play for on this team, he said, look, I know you're a good ball player, but if you go out there and you start snagging fly balls and ground balls, you're going to get picked up by another team. So what I want you to do, and I couldn't believe he's telling me this, is like the bad news bears. He goes, go out there, then you're going to play third and you're going to play short. I want you to muff every ball that comes toward you. So that this is a true story. I want you to muff every ball that comes to you so the other coaches think you stink and we can have you on my team. And I'm listening to this. I'm going, wait a minute. I just went to church last week. I'm not supposed to be doing something like this. And I'll never forget what Heather, you just mentioned. The ball came to me, hit my glove, and it just stunk. So I didn't have to do any muffing or anything. It hit my glove. It popped out. And I was like, and then I go up there to swing the bat. Same thing, and went, oh, my. And I'll never forget that. In the end, you know, we ended up having a great team. We won the, you know, the championship. I got voted to the All-Star game, and I only played one season because he wanted me to play Pony League after that. And I had, had too much going on with school and family stuff, and so my baseball career was one season. That was it. I feel like Wally Pipp.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. You know Wally Pipp is, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Wally he Pipp was the guy that Lou Gehrig went in the play.
Exactly.
For.
He yeah. was
never played again.
Well, you know what I wonder is why didn't he go to another team? You know?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, because you know, this was something I just did last week, and I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I bought Pride of the Yankees off of Amazon.com, and I watched it from beginning to end. And man, what a great story!
Lou,
yeah,
Gary.
I like Tanglefoot. I like when they call him Tanglefoot.
Yeah.
He gets all tangled up in the bats and just bites it.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Like, humble thyself, Dink.
Right, and they actually met at Comiskey Park here in Chicago. That's where that occurred.
I know you got it.
Comiskey Park's the greatest ballpark ever.
Oh, yeah, the old Comiskey, yeah.
Well, after Tiger Stadium, of course.
No.
Was it called Briggs Stadium at one point?
It was. It was called Briggs Stadium, and then it became Tiger Stadium.
Right,
And now they all got corporate names, which I refuse to call them. I can't call them
awful.
That. I can't use those names.
Hey, Heather, don't forget, Wrigley Field was the first corporate ballpark. Right?
I know. I use that all the time. Like, you like gum over there on the north side. Don't you? You've liked it for a long time. Give me my cell. The cell. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. So, Mike, how'd you celebrate Earth Hour last night?
Oh, by preparing for my show.
In the dark with candlelit and solar laptop.
In the dark. I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, there's some great photos, believe it or not, on CNN.com of all these cities around the world, you know, what it looked like before and after. You know, while the lights are on and while the lights are off, it's kind of cool. But for some reason, the shot of Pyongyang, North Korea, there's really no difference.
I'm not surprised. They
it's a joke.
Okay. But wait, ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
I always miss your humor, Rick. I don't know what it is about that.
No, I don't know. That's not a good thing. That's like one of those red flags that go up when you're dating someone. You go, okay, that's the 18th time that's happened. I'm not liking this, you know.
That happens to Mike and I via text message. She'll send me something and I'm supposed to laugh, and I'm like, sure. Okay.
Well, it's funny because, I grew up in a family with five kids, and I'll throw stuff back and forth to one of my brothers, and my other brother's like, I still don't get you guys. You know, after like 50 years of being around each other, my older brother's like, I still don't get you guys.
You know,
we love each other. So that's all that matters.
Humor is a peculiar thing. You either get it or you don't, I guess.
Right,
you know,
it certainly is. And this weather, okay, this is an easy one, Mike, is no laughing matter.
Well, I suppose if you're trying to play baseball, it's no laughing matter.
Oh, my God. You know, okay, going back to baseball, I just posted some new information on my website. Temperatures, believe it or not, for this Friday could actually sneak into the upper 40s to near 50 at Wrigley Field. And the good thing is that the wind is going to be out of the west. So you're not going to have this brutal east wind, which is what we've had around here the last, it seems like the last 4 or 5 days. It's just been awful. And, in fact, yesterday was not only windier than the previous 3 days, but we only managed to get to a high of 32. That's the coldest day so far this month of March. Isn't that amazing? Here it is, the 26th of March. We got as much sun up there as we have on about the 16th of September, and our average high should be about 50. We hit 32, and I was looking back. We haven't had a day this cold since back on February the 27th. I mean, and this is just ridiculous. Normal high for February the 5th is 32 degrees. So this is, and the thing about it is, I was out last night, and you see people walking around with like spring jackets, with like lightweight jackets, because you know what I'm saying? They're not in that mode. They're still in denial that they have to reach back into the closet and get out the winter coat and get out the earmuffs and get out the scarf and get out the gloves. We had wind chills yesterday in the teens. And this is when people start to get sick. I mean, I know you don't get sick because it's cold out, but this is when we step outside. We go, oh, yeah, it's not too bad. And you stand there, like, with your arms, like, crushed up against your body going, it's not that cold, it's not that cold. And all of a sudden you go, all right, it's cold. I mean, this has been awful weather. And you know what? There's not going to be a break for the next 4 or 5 days until maybe Friday. So this is pretty chilly stuff.
It is, and you're right. I think people they look at the date and they say it's February March. It feels like February, March 27th. They say, well, it has to be warm. So
right.
I put the winter coat away. But me, Oh, I hang on the winter coat in Chicago till May. Yeah, you know, it's
usually it's like around tax day. April 15th, I always say, is when we're finally done with winter around here, and that's, you know, coming up in 3 weeks.
You had to remind me of that, didn't
I'm
you?
I'm done with my taxes already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to get on a payment plan early this year.
I beg your pardon. Is that more of that humor? Is that the humor I'm missing again?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's no funny matter. I had to get on my payment plan early this year, is what I said with my taxes.
So you're saying it might warm up a little bit by opening day, but
yeah.
It's not going to be any great guns.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, the pattern that we're in right now, interestingly enough, is very similar to what we had. Back in late November, early December, we had this huge blocking high over Greenland, Iceland, the extreme northern sections of the Atlantic Ocean. And each storm system, and actually that was a byproduct of what was left over from the hurricane season. We had a very late hurricane season across the North Atlantic. And we're in that kind of pattern again, where every time a storm system comes through, instead of it jetting across the Atlantic into Europe, it gets blocked. And it just kind of keeps filling in this huge upper trough over Hudson's Bay, and it keeps pushing these little, you know, mini cool fronts, I want to call them, further south. And it's kind of interesting because today, all of a sudden, you look outside, you go, wow, it's actually a little bit sunnier than it was the day before. That's because the air mass is actually colder and drier. The dew point temperatures now are only in the lower teens, whereas yesterday they were in the lower 20s, and the day before in the mid 20s. So we actually had more cloud cover and a couple lake effect snow showers move through the area over the last couple of days, but obviously nothing to worry about. And then we were advertising the fact that there was going to be a potential storm system coming through here on Tuesday and Wednesday, and now even that looks like it's going to be completely squashed and pushed to the south. So
you were talking snow earlier when you sent me an email, but no longer, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? Even on Friday, I got a call from my snow removal guys. I go, okay, we were hoping we were going to put the plows around for the rest of the year. What's up with the snow on Tuesday? I go, okay, right now, don't worry about it. It's still 4 days away. Things can go north or south. But now it looks like the entire thing literally gets squashed and pushed all the way down into southern Illinois as like a small little area of low pressure. So if this looked like it was going to be a formidable 4 to 8 inch snow event. There were even winter weather statements put up yesterday across Iowa. But now it looks like it's probably just going to be a little bit of clouds and some flurries. So much less on the snowfall expectations, and which is good because for this season I predicted 55 inches of snow for O'Hare in our annual, you know, snow contest for the Chicagoland area. And I think we're stuck at 56.5. So if we don't get this next snow, which I don't think we're going to get, I may end up winning for the third year in a row, believe it or not, which would be kind of nice.
Hey, and I will immediately post that. This is my meteorologist is the best meteorologist in town, and he wins the contest every year.
I think I got a little lucky. You know, the odd thing about this is since the 1st and 2nd of February when we had that big blizzard, we've had pretty much one snowstorm, and that's when we had like a little mini 3-inch event at O'Hare, which basically went largely unforecasted.
Yeah.
Since then, we've had nothing.
Yeah.
We've had about 2.5 inches of rain, so the ground, I think, is well adapted to get spring growing. I already saw a couple of crocuses out around
the couple of them. I mean, you got to understand, the crocuses have popped in my yard, the ones that didn't get totally demolished by the squirrels.
Right.
And they're sitting there closed. They're open, the blooms are up, and they're just waiting for a little sun and a little warm weather. Please, can we open up, please?
You know what, don't you agree? I think this is kind of good because I don't like it when it gets too warm, and the fact that we've lost all our snow is allowing some of that radiation to get into the soil. And we talk about this every year. It's not so much the air temperature, but it's the temperature of the soil. And if you can get that top 2 or 3 inches, not only dried out, but kind of warmed up a little bit, and you can get that warmness down to about 4 inches, that's when everything really starts to grow.
Well, except that you can have that sun, but if in a shady area, you're not getting the warmth. And so when you have snow on the ground, it's a blanket. It's a thermal blanket. So It goes both ways, but what I like about it is that we're getting a slow warm-up, right, and it's nice and gentle, and too gentle for most people, I'm sure. They would like to have a little more warmth.
Yeah, I want to put my space heater away in my apartment, that's for sure.
I understand. So take us very quickly through the week.
Yeah, so obviously sunny today, high about 33, normal is 50. Sunny tomorrow, high 35, but not as much of a lake wind. So if you're downtown Chicago and you're walking around some of the buildings, it's cold this time of the year with that wind off the lake. So less of a lake breeze tomorrow. Tuesday, it begins to cloud up. I will probably see a little bit of light snow, but it's going to be one of those kind of dark gray days where the wind is off the lake, temperatures low 30s. Wednesday, everything basically pushes south of us, so low to mid-30s again with some sunshine. And then Thursday and Friday, the pattern finally begins to relax a little bit. So near 40 Thursday, 45 Friday, and then probably back into the upper 30s for Saturday and Sunday next week. So we don't get out of this cold pattern for at least the next 10 days, but at least it kind of releases its grip somewhat by Thursday and Friday, just in time for opening day. And I always say that the weather for opening day for football is usually about 15 to 20 degrees warmer than it is for baseball. It's kind of odd how it works out.
It is, and this is why I don't go to opening day baseball.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Just the worst. I mean, I've been a couple at Wrigley, and the wind's whipping off the lake, and it's, you know, it's just brutal.
It's terrible. I don't know why they don't go back to what they had before, which was to keep the Cubs out of Chicago for the first 2 weeks, as well as the White Sox. But I don't know why they're doing it this way. But
it's character building is what they're trying to do. Character building. That's
yeah,
all it is.
The Carlos Silva, right? Is going to be traded.
well, you know. This is not a sports show. I won't go into that.
No,
DeMaio, who you can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click
on. Hey, real quickly, how's your bracket doing? For the tournament.
I am so not into Final Four or the March Madness. It's a non-issue in my life this year.
Oh, yeah, but you got to love college basketball. You got to love these kids.
I love them. I like it better than pro
than
basketball.
NBA, yeah.
Yeah, NBA's just like just tall guys dunking, and who cares?
yeah, that's right.
You know, but college is like anybody can. Well, that's not true either because it's usually the same teams win. But this year, for some reason, sorry, not there
that's
at all
right.
with you. I wish I could help you with the bracket selection, but it's too late for that anyway.
One of these days, I want Houston Community College to get to the Final Four. That'd be nice.
Anything else you want, Rick?
No, that's it, Mike.
All right, I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Rick DeMaio, and like I said, he's here with us every Sunday. We're on Sunday. Yeah, we're on Sunday. Slightly, around 9:30 or slightly thereafter.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost, believe it. I mean, Rick DeMaio just told us, and that's going to happen for another month or so. So, you know, the official frost-free date for Chicago is actually, I believe, May 15th. So keep that in mind. That's another month and a half. But you can plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. They're tough. Pansies are one of the few frost-tolerant annuals, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week, you can get 3 of Sid's premium pansies in the 4-inch pot for just $5. Now is also the time to start flowers and vegetables. You got to get some seeds. This is a great family project, and Sid's has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, you have to start thinking about that too. SIDS has all the best brands, including premium grass seed, organic fertilizers, and weed controls from Jonathan Green. So get to SIDS this week for your free customized lawn care plan and make plans to attend their free lawn care, and I said free, lawn care seminar next Saturday, April 2nd at both of their stores. Visit SIDSonline.com for more information and to register. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hill. Hills and Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Soil is the gift that keeps on giving. Well, to your plants, and therefore to you too. But most urban and suburban soils are far from healthy. So give your soil some lovin' with Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth's probiotics, a soil inoculant, consists of bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. Sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. Heather Fry, I understand, has been putting some links to Earth Hour.
Yes, sir.
Up there so you can find
the photos. They're on Flickr, and we put the link on the Mike Novak Show Facebook page, on Twitter. It's everywhere. And I've Facebooked it, and you Facebooked it, and it's all over the place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the second hour, I'm very excited to talk to Bill Radler, who created the Knockout Rose. So stick around after CNN News.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is again, Mike Novak. So
we ever had. We watched Titanic and it didn't make us sad. I took you to Best Buy. You took me home to meet your mom and dad.
Welcome back.
Woo, that rocks.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. That's a
gotta love Weezer.
They are a fun group, no doubt about it. In the second hour, we'll be talking in just a few minutes to William J. Bill Radler about Art in Bloom at the Milwaukee Art Museum. I got an email here, which, and I'm going to admit, I can't answer it at the moment. Time to do some research. Sometimes you get stuff from Dwight, who wrote, "My wife wants to know, with all this cold weather, when she should put out her mason bees." Well, it is cold. And it is colder, and, you know, I was doing a little research, and they tend to like it in the low 50s, and it ain't going to be there for a little bit. And as Rick DeMaio said in the last hour, if you were listening to his forecast, it's cold, gets a little bit warmer for opening day at the weekend, but then it gets cold again. This is something that I'm going to check out here, and I'll tell you what, since you sent me an email there, Dwight, I can fire one back to you. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been thinking it's time for me to get another show segment about bees, and not just mason bees, but honeybees and colony collapse disorder, and where we're going with that. There's some controversy involving that and certain chemicals, and I have put in a request to May Barenbaum, who is at the University of Illinois Extension. At University of Illinois, I don't believe she's with Extension, but she's an entomologist, and I met her a few years ago, and really terrific, and knows her stuff. And she just won an award, a prestigious international award, about for her work with bees. And I think that's the person I need to get on the show, and maybe a couple of other people, and we'll talk about colony collapse disorder and where we're all headed with that. But first, let us go to line one and bring in Bill Radler. Sorry, Bill.
That's all right.
You're a famous guy, and I should get the name right, shouldn't I?
Hey, I've been called worse.
like a rose breeder? You rose breeder, you! But Bill is the guy behind the flower, so to speak, behind the knockout rose. And you've heard me talk about it on this show. I know a lot of people grow it. A lot of folks listening to this program grow it, and they love it because if there is such a thing as a no-maintenance flower, that's it. That shrub is pretty amazing. And I guess I should ask, I don't want you to give away a trade secret, but Bill, how did you do it?
I'm not afraid to give away trade secrets. I figure sharing is probably one of the most important things. I happen to be a rose geek, so I really get off on getting to the nitty-gritty with roses and plants in general. And in my teen years, I realized that maybe when I'm in my retirement years, I wouldn't want to be fussing as much with roses as I did as a child. And
Wait. You were a child and you were growing roses? How many kids do you know who grow roses?
As I said, I'm a rose geek. So I bought my first rose bush at age 9.
Are you kidding me? Wow. How did that happen? How is it that a child was a rose geek?
I first got attached to roses through rose catalogs. In fact, it was Jackson and Perkins rose catalog that my grandfather had at his home that when we came to visit, back in those days, I'm 68 now, but in those days, children were supposed to be seen and not heard. And so I just sat there paging through the rose catalogs over and over again, and I could almost visualize those roses coming to life. And someday I wanted to actually have those roses of my own.
Mm-hmm.
So at age nine, I planted my first rose bush.
And how did it do?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You already knew what you were doing, huh?
I'm a tinkerer. I love dabbling with stuff and getting to know the nitty-gritty and finding out what it's all about and learning more about it. And there's lots to know about roses.
I'll bet. Well, there's, you open any book about roses or any, American Horticultural Society A to Z, and you're going to see thousands. Don't we, and this is the wrong person to ask, but I'm going to anyway, don't we get to the point where we've had enough? It's already confusing trying to decide the best rose for your yard. It's like walking into a supermarket. There's too many choices. How do I make a choice?
Well, first of all, you've got to relax with making the choice. And if you're not willing to do all the research, which is most of us, you go to a good authority and you say, this is what I want. What should I buy? And the more knowledgeable the authority, the better off you're going to be.
So you hear, by the way, if folks have a question about roses, and I know, and I suspect that since you're the guy, I'm going to make you pay your way on the show by answering a couple of questions. 773-838-9278. 773-838-WCPT if you've got a rose question for the guy who created the knockout rose. So let's get back to, you know, you're a child and you get into roses. So when do you start messing with them and trying to create new roses?
A few years after I planted my first one. By the time I was 16, I had 150 roses in my folks' backyard.
Give me that number again, 160?
Somewhere around there, 150, 160.
My goodness.
I learned how to grow roses from cuttings, bud grafting. I learned to find out where I could get the bargain plants because we were lower middle class, and at age 12, well, actually, I should go back. At age 9, I was using babysitting money to pay for that rose bush.
For your habit, right? You were paying for your habit.
My addiction.
Your addiction. Oh, dear. It's like we're taking the babysitting money now. And so you started doing this, and I imagine you learned right away that roses tend to have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll get black spot, they'll get powdery mildew, they'll get all kinds of stuff. They'll get mosaic disease. You must have encountered a few of those along the way.
All of the above.
All of the above. And more, and more, right?
A lot more than that.
Yeah.
I soon realized that not all roses were plagued with all of those problems. And the little wheels started turning in my head, and I said, why hasn't somebody combined all the good things into one product? And I told myself in my teen years I would develop that product. If for nothing else, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to continue with my hobby, not give it up in my retirement years. I was really forward-thinking, I guess. And I saw the people around me that were getting up in years, and they were cutting back on their rose-growing hobby because the way they wanted to grow roses entailed too much work.
And I've always felt that way myself. At least when I first got into horticulture, I thought, wow. I went to one of my very first talks I did after I started doing radio. I ended up just before a woman, a Rosarian, who came on and just listed this arsenal of sprays and products that you needed to have on hand to take care of your roses. So I assume that that's what you were hoping the average gardener wouldn't have to resort to.
Correct. The chemicals don't smell good. You worry about them. One of the nice things about today is a lot of those chemicals that are on the market aren't that bad. In fact, some of them you can drink. But the fact still goes down to if you don't like doing it, it's still bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I invented a product that didn't need all these chemicals and an instruction manual to go with it whenever you buy one.
yeah, exactly. Just a rose that you put in the ground and it blooms pretty much all summer, but you know, and it doesn't get much disease. It's very resistant to disease. But that must have been a lot of trial and error involved in that for you.
Yes, it was. There's about seven commercial roses in the background of Knockout, and while that doesn't sound very much, in the course of 15 years, which is what it took for me to develop Knockout. I would cross-pollinate a flower, get hybrid seed, grow the seed, and the seedlings that would develop, I would save the best of the lot because you didn't get the perfect rose at the first attempt. And I kept on crossing and recrossing, and finally I made the Magic Cross in 1988, and here we are today. Knockout is being touted as the best-selling rose worldwide of all time.
I put that on my website, and you have to sit back and let it sink in for a second. I mean, and for you, that has to be pretty amazing to be able to say, I basically created the best-selling rose of all time, best-selling rose of all time in the world. And you just kind of go, okay, now what?
Exactly.
Now what?
A little pressure.
Well, but you've continued to do that. You moved on. You started with the red. How many different varieties do you have now?
22, 23.
Oh, I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, they're not all knockouts, though.
You mean that with the big... That, you realize what you just said. They're not all knockouts, but it's turn of phrase. Never mind. Anyway, go ahead. Explain.
Okay. There's, 6 or 7 knockouts out there, and I could go through them, but you can visit the Star Roses site and find out what they all are.
Just so you know, for folks listening, if you go to MikeNovak.net and go to this week's show and our conversation, and I have the link to Knockout Rose, and if you go to that page, it does list all of those varieties. But continue.
So the reason why I say they're not all knockouts, Star Roses, which is the introducing company for my roses, has realized that they've got to keep the name of Knockout clean. So they don't want to introduce any roses that they don't feel are up to the Knockout name.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that their roses that are close to that shouldn't get introduced.
Mm-hmm.
For instance...
But stop here for a second. If they don't want... to introduce a rose that isn't close, what are their criteria to make it a knockout?
First of all, it's got to be clean. That means disease resistant. It doesn't mean disease immune. It means that there won't be any serious disease problems.
Mm-hmm.
And with knockout, you might get a few minor leaf spot diseases, which are not black spot, but usually it's on the lower leaves of the plant and the leaves don't fall off. And so who cares? However, if a leaf spot disease is going to cause the leaves to fall off, that's going to be a big problem. And one has to remember that in different climates, roses perform differently. When they put the knockout label, they want to make sure it's going to perform well in all climates. So it has to be disease-free. It's got to survive the winter. It's got to quickly cycle its bloom so that it's in bloom just about all the time. The individual flowers need to be long-lasting so that you don't have bloom one day and no bloom the next. And the flowers need to be self-cleaning. And what that means is after the bloom is finished, the petals can't stay on to the plant. They need to fall off. So you don't have to go out there and cut them off.
Uh-huh. it's all about maintenance and people... You know, the knockout, it seems to me, and I always say there's no such thing as a no-maintenance garden.
Correct.
But a knockout comes as close as it possibly can to that. I'll tell you what, that we're talking to Bill Radler, who is the inventor of the knockout rose. Would you consider the word breeder? What do you use? What term?
I'll accept any term. I don't care.
We got a question coming in, and I want to get back to this story, and I also need to talk about Art and Bloom, because you've created a new Rose for Art and Bloom up at the Milwaukee Art Museum, which starts this Thursday. And I want to talk about that event and how you got involved with it as well. Let's go quickly to the phone and take a call. And Debbie in Chicago, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Hi.
Hi. First time question caller, but well, I listen all the time.
Well, thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that.
I was just curious, because we're all so environmentally conscious, is there a good way to get rid of a cane borer? Because I believe that's what my rose bush has. Because when I snip off the dead canes, I have a hole going dead down the center.
Did you catch that, Bill? I heard the question, Mike. Okay.
It's about cane borers.
Yes.
And cane borers. This is an insect that lays its eggs on cut rose canes. So somewhere along the line, I think this insect adapted to man's habit of cutting rose canes during the growing season, because it doesn't lay its eggs anywhere else. And when the eggs hatch, the little insect goes down the cane. And if you're growing roses for exhibition purposes, you want to win the big trophy, well, then maybe you have to be concerned with it. And what you could do is just take a drop of Elmer's glue and put it over the freshly cut rose cane. But if you're like the average person out there, if you do nothing about it, the end of the world is not going to happen. In fact, you're not going to notice the difference.
Okay, I was afraid it would end up ultimately killing the entire plant.
No.
Perfect.
That's so interesting, though.
And I love the Elmer's glue.
I love that tip. See, that environmentally sound practices, get your Elmer's glue out with your roses. Wow, that's fascinating. But the point being, of course, Bill, that the cane borer for roses is going to cause minimal damage to them. Does it go away on its own, or does it hang on forever?
It's not going to go away, but you're right, Mike, minimal damage. You'd have to grow a plant side by side, and you probably, one you'd care for and the other you wouldn't for cane borer. I don't think you'd notice the difference.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. I really appreciate you calling, and I'm glad to hear that answer. And it's it puts my mind at ease too.
Well, this is one good thing about roses that don't need their spent bloom removed. You're not going to have cane borer, are you?
That's true. So it's one of the advantages of the knockout rose.
All right. If you take cut some blooms from inside, then you're going to have an entry area for cane borer.
Yeah, but, you know, people prune all the Debbie, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling. But people prune all the time for shape, for aesthetics.
Right.
When you have dead branches that come out. You're not saying that any time you cut, you're going to be opening yourself up to cane borer, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well. But I've never seen it. Maybe I have it, and I've not paid that much attention to it because the damage wasn't. I don't know. I let Debbie go, but I'm wondering how she noticed that she had it.
She probably saw this little hole in the end of the cut cane.
Yeah.
That was left on the plant, and people talked this up a lot. You can even take a thumbtack and put it on that cut cane, and that'll prevent the cane borer from entering.
I love it. Elmer's glue and a thumbtack. It's like doing an art project.
Simpler is better.
Simpler is better. That is William J. Bill Radler, and we're talking to him. He's up in Milwaukee. He's the creator of the Knockout Rose. Hang on there for a second, Bill. I got to take care of some business here, and when we come back, we'll also talk about Art in Bloom at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Again, if you have another question about roses, this is the time. We're getting into rose season. We're getting to the point where you can actually get them out and get them in the ground. Roses are tough plants, believe it or not. At 773-838-9278 is the phone number. Give us a call. And now I'd like to read an open letter to all you rabbits, squirrels, deer, chipmunks, and raccoons listening to my show, and I know many of you do. Stay away from my plants. End of message. That's the message that Bonide Repels All Animal Repellent will send to these ravenous little critters. Repels All is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep pests away. Unlike other repellents, Repels All has no unpleasant odor and is effective for up to 2 months. It's so effective that your satisfaction is guaranteed. Repels All natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and structures. Repels All is available in concentrate, ready-to-use, and ready-to-spray liquid formulations and in easy-to-spread granules. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Pesci's in Des Plaines, Illinois, Lurvy Garden Center in Des Plaines, Illinois, and Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. You got to love this. That, you know, even the horticultural companies getting into the 21st century technology. And it's a Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, and download it directly to your computer's desktop.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Storms can happen at any time of year, and trees can be damaged in any season. If you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. Why? Well, they have 24-hour emergency service. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years and shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com. That's www.thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. That wasn't actually the song I was going to play, but hey, you know, let's just go with it. Sometimes it's a little CD roulette here. It's a Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking to William J. Bill Radler, the creator of the Knockout Rose. And see, that happens to you sometimes, Bill. You combine two plants and you don't get what you expected, so you just move on to the next thing, right?
Right, Mike.
We have another call in here, and actually it's another tip about the cane borers from Catherine in Green Oaks. How you doing, Catherine?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. So
I enjoy your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling.
Oh, I learned that from Craig Bergman when I was out there when he used to have his nursery.
Uh-huh.
He said just put a little dab of clear nail polish every time you cut, and it seals it. And I've been doing it for like 5 years now, and those little borers don't get in there. You don't have the little holes, and it's really nice.
I'll be darned. Have you heard that one, Bill?
That is one that works, yes. You could even take chewing gum.
Well, I don't chew gum.
Yeah, but wouldn't the chewing gum break down eventually?
Yeah, but it will break down. The chewing gum will break down, but by the time the chewing gum breaks down, the surface is no longer appealing to the boar to lay its eggs.
Oh, so is it part of the deal that they like fresh cuts?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like it's soft, so it would be really nice to eat. Yeah.
if you're a borer, yeah.
it's good eating.
Yeah, for them. Catherine, where is Green Oaks?
It's an unincorporated area in Libertyville.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're small, but we're all great gardeners out here because of the amount of land we all have.
Uh-huh. Well, for giving me a tip, and I always appreciate that, I'd like to send you something. And
oh, my goodness.
Do you have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
No, I just buy it on the newsstand.
Well, you're going to get a subscription for a year. How's that?
Oh, thank you. My goodness gracious.
Well, no problem. I you know, the only reason I'm doing it is so you can read my column on the inside back page. But you hang on and talk to Mark, and he will get you all that information. He'll get your information. And thank you for calling and giving us that tip. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. And Bill is still with us. And see, Bill, everybody's got a little home remedy for how to take care of their plants. And it's one of the interesting things about horticulture is that there are those sorts of things. It's, in some ways, it's not an exact science, is it?
No, and life is all about learning. And every day, I think, is an adventure in learning. And in the beginning of the program, I mentioned sharing. That's how this information is passed on. We share it with each other. It's a great way to live.
So let's get back to I said I was going to preview Art in Bloom at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and as I said, it starts this Thursday, March 31st, and it goes to April 3rd. And I said on my website, I think it might just very well be the best horticultural show in the Midwest for a number of reasons. First of all, the museum is fabulous. And what they do is they bring in floral designers and they say, all right, create a floral design, a piece that can be indoors that goes along with some of our art. What people do is really remarkable. Some of the pieces that they come up with, and, you know, they are to be inspired by the museum's collection masterworks. And as I state on my website, some of it's literal, some of it's interpretive, some of it's fanciful. You never quite know what you're going to get. And of course, in addition to this, there are seminars and vendors and that sort of thing. But it's a great, great celebration of art and horticulture up in Milwaukee. Now, how did you get involved with Art in Bloom?
Good question. First of all, if I can mention about the art museum, the original art museum was a landmark building which wasn't large enough to house the whole collection. And the art museum expanded, and this expanded part is a work of art by itself. And it's called the Calatrava by the architect who developed the plan for the building. He's internationally renowned, and this is the first construction, if you want to call it, of one of his buildings in the United States. And we in Milwaukee are very proud to have this here.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's just a remarkable achievement. And if you haven't been up to Milwaukee, you need to go and see that. Even just standing outside and looking at it is a treat.
Yes.
Right on Lake Michigan, and it looks like a ship sailing out into the lake. It's just fabulous.
Yes. So getting back to my special rose for Art in Bloom, I was approached by the director of the art museum, who had been approached by the art museum's garden club, that they thought with the upcoming anniversary, I think it's 10, could be 20, I'm terrible at numbers. Anyway, they wanted a rose of mine to commemorate this anniversary. And so now we have the Milwaukee's Calatrava rose. And I was excited to be approached because I had not been approached before to have a rose named for something important. And I was more than happy to do this. And coincidentally, a very fragrant white rose of mine was going to be introduced, and I thought, oh, this is perfect because the Calatrava building is stark white. And to have a fragrant white rose named after that was like, ooh, yippee, exciting. So now I can share my excitement with everybody else because this is, I'm sure, the most fragrant landscaping rose that you can buy.
All right, this is interesting. It brings up a really good point. You and I had talked the other day, but I brought it up then. I'm going to bring it up now, that the knockout, there's a phrase, turn of phrase for you. The knock-on knockout, when it first came out, was that it wasn't fragrant. And folks said, well, if you want a rose, it looks great, it holds up, it looks good, but you're not going to smell anything. You contend that there actually is fragrance in there, but the fact that you've created one with lots of fragrance makes me think that you were paying attention to people who said there really isn't much fragrance in the knockout, the original one.
Right. I was paying attention to people, but one of my goals is to have all the roses that we're familiar with, mm-hmm. with all their exotic colors, fragrances, size, climbers, tree roses, what have you, miniatures. I want to have all the existing product available in a low-maintenance form. And one of the outstanding characteristics of roses, some roses, is their outstanding fragrance. And some of these fragrances are unique to roses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to incorporate this. And I think I can say I've got three fragrant roses out there.
And those would be?
Sunny Knockout, Bright Eyes, and now Milwaukee's Calatrava. And I can't tell you how fragrant Sunny Knockout is because I can't smell that fragrance.
What do you mean?
People understand color blindness, but they don't understand that we don't all have the same ability to detect fragrances and odors. And for some odd reason, there's a certain line of scents in roses that I can't smell.
Huh.
And in fact, I just ordered some fragrant Streptocarpus this last fall because I wanted fragrant flowering houseplants. And I'm in my office, if you don't mind me digressing a little bit. And I've got a huge flowering jasmine in the office. And the perfume of that plant filling the air is something else. But I have also a Hoya coronaria blooming at the same time, and that has even more fragrance.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, these fragrances I have no trouble smelling, and I don't have trouble smelling most rose fragrances. But the fragrance that Sunny Knockout gives out, people had to tell me that it was fragrant because I could not pick it up.
You're the Beethoven of plant breeders. It's like you create the symphony, and they had to say, Bill, turn you around to face the audience and see them cheering and smelling the rose and saying, it's magnificent, because you couldn't smell it yourself.
Yes, but hearing it come from other people, it's almost as good.
So, and now I notice the Sunny Knockout is kind of a yellowish. The Calatrava is a white. And what was the third one that's fragrant?
Bright Eyes is a pink with a yellow center.
Okay. So now the last thing you need to do is come out with that dark red rose that has the brilliant fragrance.
Right.
So, and then you will have done it. You will have created, more than the hat trick, you'll have four. But I guess that's the next on the list. Well, listen, Bill, it's been great talking to you. I have a quick question from my personal garden. I got a rambler. When I moved into my place, I got this rambler that blooms, you know, once a year, has no fragrance. When it goes, it's beautiful, but it lasts about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And then basically I'm picking through the canes and trying to get them out of everything. I bet you would advise me to take that thing out and put in a knockout, right?
Not necessarily. I might suggest you put in a Ramblin' Red or a Winner's Circle. Bright Eyes is a climber. Morning Magic. And only for the reason that you get a longer period of bloom.
Yeah. I have been tempted to just say, okay, I'm done here. Let's take this baby out. Of course, it's been there forever, and God knows what the root system looks like and how hard it would be to excavate it. But, I'm dreading getting to prune it. I want to prune it before it leaves out, because otherwise it's going to be hopeless. You know how that is, I'm sure.
Right, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. And one thing that I want to make sure that I tell people.
Yes.
Milwaukee's Calatrava is going to be in limited availability this year. And one of the areas that for sure that I can tell people they can order the plant is through coming to Art and Bloom, because they will take orders
there
at
you go.
Art and Bloom. And Johnson's Nursery here in Milwaukee also has plants. In fact, they're responsible for the Milwaukee's Calatrava Rose Garden at the Art Museum.
So that's a good reason to head up to Art and Bloom at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Are you making an appearance there by any chance?
I will be there on occasion. I don't know which days yet.
All right. When you go up there, just bug the people at the front desk. Say, when's Bill Radler going to be around? Where is he? I want to talk to him. Bill, it's been a pleasure having you on. Congratulations. It's just been delightful talking with the guy who is behind the rose. I hope we talk again in the future and I get to meet you sometime.
Yes, it would be nice, Mike. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Wow. Not often you meet the breeder of the breed.
I would not mind if my son was a rose nerd growing up. If I was going to have 150 to 160 roses that my son planted around our home, yeah, I'd be totally okay with
How
that.
How cool would that be?
Mm-hmm.
I know that many of you who listen to my show are worried that I don't get enough time off. I know you tune in week after week, and what do you hear? Me. Well, that's not healthy for me or for you. So I'm taking some time off. Next year, I mean it, from February 25th to March 3rd, 2012, I'll be on the Norwegian Cruise Line's Norwegian Sun to visit the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more. And I want you to come with me. We'll be exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens on some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere. I will be your genial host for this excursion, and I will share my insights about Midwest gardening along the way. Believe me, we're going to have a great time, and I hope you'll be on board. You will never see me in a bathing suit, however. There are a couple of ways you can get more information. First, go to my website, mikenovak.net, and click on the picture of the Norwegian Sun, or call CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664. 800-876-6664. Log on at cruise-works.com, or just write to me, mike@mikenovak.net, MikeNowak.net, and I will send you all of the information that you need.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, even though the temps are in the 30s. That's okay. Go indoors to Sid's Greenhouses. Right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape, since there's still a chance of frost. A chance. Ha! Well, we still got
frost.
What?
A promise,
yeah,
maybe?
I think we can get it. Yeah. A promise for opening day. There will be frost on the baseball bats. But you can plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. And Mark Munger was asking earlier in the studio, and you and I have talked about this before, Heather, why is that a synonym for...
A sissy. It's blatant false advertising is what it is.
Tough little guys. And they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week you can get 3 of Sid's premium pansies in the 4-inch pot for just $5. Now is also the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. This is a great family project, and Sid's has everything you'll need. And if you want to have the best lawn on the block, you got to start real soon, of course, when it warms up a little bit. Sid's has all the best brands, including premium grass seed, organic fertilizers, and weed controls from Jonathan Green. So get to Sid's this week for your free customized lawn care plan and make plans to attend their free lawn care seminar next Saturday, April 2nd, at both of their stores. Go to SidsOnline.com for more information to register. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's spring in Chicago. You know how I can tell? It's colder than it's been in a month. But I digress. With the season upon us, you need the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You definitely want to pick this up because you get 2 publications for the price of 1. Not only do you get the Midwest's Best Guide to Zone 5 Gardening, now that's the magazine, you also receive the Annual Resource Guide, a separate booklet that has information about garden centers, seeds, classes, tools, and a whole lot more. There's also a story about repotting indoor plants. Spring is a good time to do that. And a lesson in the plants that are likely to be thugs who take over your garden. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Here's the deal. I will give you a huge prize if you stand outside the showcase studios of Gargantua Radio on Michigan Avenue and recite it from memory. If you videotape it, I'll put it on my YouTube channel.
And what is their huge prize?
I'll give them everything on the prize list here.
Ooh, that is good.
There's some great stuff here.
There is good stuff.
But I need a video of it. Just memorize. You can even read it.
No, I was going to let him read it and let him hold the magazine up so people can see
go.
The cover of
outside
the magazine.
Outside the window, take a video of it, send it to me, read my column, say a dramatic reading of Mike Novak's column from Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, and I will give you everything on the prize list. Okay? You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to ChicagolandGardening.com. See, I have no idea what this is. It's a CD I got from Starbucks.
It's not bad.
It's
got good coffee and some good tunes every now and then.
They do.
They signed Paul McCartney, of all things.
To do what? To be
him.
A barista?
He left the EMI label and signed on with Starbucks for his last album to get it out and promoted quicker. Because EMI said it would take a year to, like, 3 years to do all the work, and Starbucks was like, we can knock that out in 6 months.
Wow.
And he was like, okay.
Wow. Well, a couple of things I'm going to get out before the end of the show here. Washington Park Conservancy wrote to me they're doing a seed-starting workshop at the Washington Park Fieldhouse, 5531 South King Drive. On Saturday, April 2nd, 10 to noon, Kristen McPhee from the Chicago Botanic Garden will instruct the class. And the funder of this is Southeast Chicago Commission. Call Medium to register at 773-203-3418, 773-203-3418, or wpconservancy@gmail.com. wpconservancy@gmail.com for their seed starting workshop at Washington Park's Fieldhouse next Saturday. I didn't get to the high speed rail announcement, but there may be something coming up big on the show in a few weeks. I can't tell you what it is. But we're also celebrating our third anniversary of the Mike Novak Show.
Can you believe it?
In 3 weeks. Yeah. It only feels like it's been two decades, you know?
And you're such a sentimentalist, Mike.
I know, I really am.
How do you encompass all this warm fuzziness about you?
I don't know. It just spills out. There's nothing I can do about it. But in a slightly more serious note, I got this note from the Chicago Botanic Garden, and they've long held close to the rich traditions of Japan with their horticulture, including the Elizabeth Hubert Mallet Japanese garden, or Mallet. And they have unique bonsai courtyards and programming with the seasonal Japanese festivals and Sundays throughout the year and many classes at the Regenstein School Botanic Garden. At this time, the garden wishes to recognize the disaster in Japan and express their sympathies, thoughts, and reflections of their staff and visitors by placing a wish tree near the Crescent Garden. And this is through the 27th. So today is the last day. If you're up that way, you might want to go to the Chicago Botanic Garden. The tree is a Tamukiyama Japanese maple, and wish trees are common in various forms throughout the world. In Japan, different variations of wish trees can be found in the courtyards of Shinto shrines, where wishes are often written on slips of paper called tenzaku during the Japanese festival and hung on bamboo poles. Tanabata is the Japanese festival. And you can, at the garden, Chicago Botanic Garden, welcome to express your thoughts and wishes for the people of Japan and their families by filling out a tenzaku and tying it anywhere on the branches of the tree. And again, that's through just today. So if you want to take advantage of that, head up to the Chicago Botanic Garden up in Glencoe. And finally, last but not least, I got to tell you that I got this. Dan Costa writes a lot of things, and he's been paying attention to this controversy that we had on the show. And I'm not going to say much about it today, but tell people to go to my website, go to this week's show, because I've written the whole chronology of all the comments, how it started, the whole dog poo thing and the wood mulch thing and how everybody got dragged into it. And it was on Facebook and Twitter and blog sites and phone calls and whatever else. And it's all there. And what came of this, we got some really, really good websites out of it about the issues. So if you want to follow the whole thing, you're probably going to learn something about, for instance, and let me go back to my website here. Last week, Ellen Phillips, who's a crop systems educator with the University of Illinois Extension, wrote and sent me a great website on using dog and cat manure on home gardens from the University of Minnesota Extension Service. The point is, don't. They go through this whole thing, but they explain why, which is great, about extension sites. So Wally Schmidtke went online to look up stuff about using wood mulch and how you can use it in the garden and how you shouldn't use it in the garden. He sent me a couple of links. I've got those up there. Dig It Yourself Gardener blogged on it, talking to an extension person at Family Farmed Expo. So it's all there, and you can go through it. And let me get to Dan Costa's letter in just a second. You might find it interesting. Move over, yogurt. Dr. Earth's potting soils are packed with probiotics, too, the kind that break down organic materials and make nutrients available to your plants. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors in raised beds, mixed with existing garden soil, added to existing soil in containers or pots, or on its own. It's going to improve your soil's physical properties and its health. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. 35 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. Now, here's a quote from a real person who used Bobex deer repellent. This is the quote. I love this quote. "I finally saw my daylilies." I think that about says it all. You know that daylilies are like bonbons and tulips to deer, unless you have, well, tulips are like bonbons, too, unless you have Bobex in your arsenal. Bobex Deer Repellent is the most effective, long-lasting spray on the market. It's environmentally friendly and stops deer from browsing by using all-natural smell and taste deterrents, and it will not wash off. Bobex can be used on all ornamental shrubs and flowers and around vegetables. There's plenty of information about Bobex products and how to use them at Bobex.com, B-O-B-B-E-X.com, and there's even a cool video. You should take a look at it. You're not going to find Bobex in the big box stores, only at your local independent garden center. You can find Bobex products at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois. Gardens for People in Geneva, Illinois. Anton's Greenhouse in Highland Park, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. Now, here's a letter that Mr. Costa sent me. It's pretty interesting. I hope I can get most of this in. He said, "Your conversation about soils and lawns today prompted me to write. Yesterday, a man came to the greenhouse for advice. He said his garden was becoming less and less productive. His landscaper said he needed to have the soil removed and replaced. The landscaper said that this happens in gardens after a while. The man said the landscaper has been adding mushroom compost and rototilling annually. He said he did not notice a smell from the mushroom compost, so I suspect little or none was actually used. I suggested that instead of replacing the soil, he add one or two large bales of peat moss and some composted cow manure. I also said to tell the landscaper not to rototill except one last time to work the amendments into the soil. The man was not going to dig it in himself. In the end, he said it might be easier and better to just replace the soil, as that was what the landscaper suggested. Very frustrating for me. I wonder if the landscaper won't dig up the soil, put it in his truck, drive away, and return with the same soil, now called new soil. Sometimes it's hard to combat this or the misinformation given to people. They think that just because they see this person once in a while and are billed for services, that the person must be a knowledgeable authority and their opinions are always correct. I'm sure if I had agreed that the man should replace the soil, he would have been happy and thanked me. As it was, he said my suggestions sounded just like a sales pitch. He said that the landscaper must know what he's doing, right?" Dan writes, "Can we ever get rid of such ingrained thinking?" Very interesting. I mean, he goes into Dan and he gets free advice about what to do. Dan gives him free advice, but he believes the guy who's charging him to do it. Yeah. You know, that's why I always tell people, read a lot. Go to the websites. Go to my website. Go to, you know, extension websites, University of Illinois. I got a lot of links on my page and places you can go. Look stuff up and get three or four ideas before you make a decision. And don't make Dan Costa frustrated.
You wouldn't like Dan Costa when
he's frustrated. He's a good guy. Last but not least, I hope you're out in Naperville at 1 o'clock today. I'm going to be there for the Naperville Home Showcase. I'm doing my talk, Great Green Gardens, 1 o'clock, North Central College, 440 Brainerd Street in Naperville. It's cold today. Go inside. You want to be indoors. You want to do something and look at the products for your home and garden and listen to Mike Novak talk for, I'll ramble on for 3 or 4 hours. Nah, it won't be that long. All right. We'll see you next week. And about this time every week is when we say something like go green or
go home.
Okay. I'll do it.